we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe. Here we belong, fighting to survive in a war with the darkest power.
Welcome to episode 33, the post-Genesis. We had the pre-Genesis, the pre-Genesis, now the post-Genesis show. This is PW Radio. I'm Rob Robinson. You know who I am, because you listen to all the episodes. Oh, yes, you do. We got a full house tonight. We got Mr. Arcor with us.
What's up, Rob?
That's right. We got Radio Rich with us.
Word up, y'all.
Yeah, we got Chameleon with us.
Oh, yeah.
And we got Hunter the Wiper Sullivan with us.
Hello.
Oh, he wiped the mat all right.
And we kind of have Jacob Figgins with us, but he just doesn't want to talk. He's shy.
Well, yeah, he is. I think. But then again, if you would just unmute him once in a while.
He crawled into a pint glass. And,
it's the cone of silence that Figgins is in.
Okay. All right, folks. You're not here.
Now playing the part of Jacob Figgins, Mr. Hardcore.
You're here.
Hey, that works for me. I'm in a good mood tonight. I am in such a good mood. I'm sure Phoenix and I, we're in good moods tonight. We'll get into that later.
We will. Okay, but right now, let's get into a little bit of a Hall of Fame recap. It's going to be a short one because it's,
short.
Yeah, short, pretty much. The first Hall of Fame in 7 years for people keeping score.
We have another one next year.
Maybe.
Oh,
maybe.
Yeah.
If
no, we will.
Qualified.
Don't say if. Well, that's true if anybody qualifies, but we will be here next year.
We'll be here. It's just, I can only be inducted so many times.
Same here.
Yeah.
I think in some form or another, whether it's me or my brother or, you know, our dream selves, I think I'm in there 3 times. So, yeah, I'm good to go.
All right, then. Right. Okay. So, first inductee is actually a member of the Summers Clan, if you want to get right
Woo-hoo!
Down. Yeah. Psycho Sandra, first female, or the first, yeah, well, the first woman to be world champion. Not the first woman to be a champion in PWA, but the first world champion, 2-time world champion. Yeah.
Summer's family, 3 times in the Hall of Fame. Nice to go. All right.
Oh, she's aware of this honor.
No, I've let her know. She knows.
Okay. Well, good. I mean, you know, thanks for stopping by and saying hi, whatever. Our next inductee was our first world champion of the current era, as I like to call it. Project X, we inducted him. Nice.
The biggest Mac Daddy in PWA history.
Oh, know it. And I don't
just
know.
Not the just not the. Well, he's the biggest in terms of height, but in horizontal,
and
nowhere near.
Rob's wife also knows it.
Mm. Yeah.
As does Mrs. Adams.
Yep.
I found the pictures the other day.
Oh, God.
I'm sorry.
Oh, God. I'm sorry, man.
Oh,
that's no one.
Well, you know, it's no big deal. That's what I found out. All right. a chuckle from the peanut gallery. Okay, our next inductee is a man that I didn't want to do. I didn't want to induct, but I don't. He's all right. He gave me $150, and I thought, what the fuck? There's no integrity in the PWA Hall of Fame. If there was, then
there's no integrity in the PWA. So.
Oh, okay, yeah, I could have saved a little bit of breath there. But we let Thunder Wolf in. He's held a bunch of titles, and. Thankfully, he's not active any longer. What?
And Thunder Wolf being the second biggest Mac Daddy in PWA history.
How tall is he?
Well, second most prolific Mac Daddy in PWA.
Well, I just wanted to make sure because
really?
He's not that. He's not that. Well, yeah, he's only prolific. You know, he's Thunder Wolf is our our PWA Viagra. He pops up every 4 hours and then he's gone.
Rich, you in Baltimore, you pronounce it Mac Daddy, because in St. Louis, we call it douchebag. I don't know how the pronunciation is so different.
Well, he's a douchebag, too.
Oh, okay.
I think we could just call him Mr. Promiscuous.
Yeah. And, all right. And then our next inductee.
This one shocks
Can
me.
I can't. No spoilers.
Yeah, no spoilers. Perennial loser, Scotty the Panther Snow.
Rob.
I don't know what the hell happened. I don't know who let him in. I don't know where he got $150 to get in, personally. But
yeah, because his paycheck is only $20 a week.
Rob. Yeah. What?
Check your wallet, Rob.
And our final inductee, our star inductee for this year, long overdue. I don't even know how this took so long to happen. Probably because we haven't had an induction ceremony in 7 years. That's probably what happened. Long overdue, probably the most deserving man in the entire Hall of Fame.
Joe?
Primo?
It is...
Joe?
No.
Joe Boxer? No. What, did Mark McNasty get put in?
Oh, not this lifetime, my friend.
That we guy? Tried...
Yes, that guy. The Phoenix. Your newest Hall of Famer.
Oh, wait. We already covered Scotty Snow, didn't we? I thought that's who you were talking about.
No. And in the front office category, of which I, of course, am already inducted. We did bring in the guy that's in charge of our archives, our records, our rankings, our awards that are not Hall of Fame related. Cancer leader. We are so awesome that we can't pronounce his last name. We don't even know it. We don't even know what his last name is, but he's in. So there we go. That's the Hall of Fame class 2009, baby. Of course, headlined by yours truly, as it should be. I think actually I might induct myself again next year just to, you know, keep the level of quality as high as it was this year.
I don't mind going in again either. So
even though I just said the PWA has no integrity, I don't know if that can actually work. But, hey, you know, you and Chameleon make the rules around here, so...
What do I put time to figure that out.
Yeah. We'll get Robbie a cake, and it'll become a tradition. Blow out the candle, get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
I do love cake. All right, let us move on now to the biggest event of the whole goddamn year happened last night, ladies and gentlemen, in my hometown, St. Louis, Missouri, PWA Dome. Yeah.
From world famous PWA Dome in St. Louis, Missouri, Absolutely. Genesis 9.
That's right. You know, it's got, you know, I know you guys were there, but the listeners probably are not aware. But the PWA Dome does have two gigantic aquariums on either on the north and the south ends of the building for, you know, visitors to see when they enter. It's very nice.
It should be quickly noted, Kanslider. His last name is pronounced Kanslider.
Kanslider.
Yeah, I just asked him.
Really?
Yeah, he's online. I asked him. Kanslider.
Kanslider. You know,
there's a joke there or two.
There is, because I happen to know that man loves his beer, and when he gets done, the can is indeed lighter. So, all right.
I'm sorry, that was good. I give you credit for that one.
And
Joe is going to hate you when he hears this, but I'm laughing.
Rob gets one imaginary cookie.
Yes.
I'm giving him two.
All right.
And a whole case of Yoo-Hoo.
But they're crappy.
And power sauce bars. All the power sauce bars he can eat.
No, that's not legal.
No, that's not legal in the U.S. That's not legal in the U.S. If
you
saw my one from
Canada, all of the power sauce bars.
Chameleon, I thought it was legal in Alabama.
Everything's legal in Alabama.
That's the point.
Next time we go
to Jethro Hayes. Now, please.
Next time we do an international show, we need to see a Power Sauce Basel sponsor it.
No,
we'll see what happens. Let's get on to the pay per view. I'm sure some of us would actually like to get to bed before Wednesday.
Yeah, we don't need any U.S.
Really?
I don't. All right. Here we go. So we've got a really fantastic intro that our video department. You know what? Led by Joe Kanslider. Kanslider? Joe Kanslider, he put this video package together for us, and it was fantastic, especially the parts that featured me. There's some other people in it, but I'm in there.
It should be noted, not to take anything away from our Joe Kanslider gentleman, that the intro was also, how shall I say, embellished by yours truly.
Oh, well, I was not aware. You know what? Wow, way to get greedy with the accolades.
Thank you.
All right.
But, you know, it could not have happened it could not have happened without Joe. Joe inspired the embellishment.
Okay. You know, and I'm not saying it's wrong greedy with the accolades.
That's true. I mean, you're definitely greedy with the accolades, and you deserve them, dude. You deserve them. So let's go on.
You. This is a new era in WA Radio. Who's making all that noise?
I don't know. It ain't me.
And he just shut up as soon as I did it, too.
No.
And it came back.
It's Hunter.
My ears are bleeding.
Hunter.
It sounds like a rape.
Rob, mute us one at a time and see when it goes away.
I know exactly who it is.
Yeah, it's Brandon. Brandon, go away. Hunter.
Hunter Sullivan.
Last week, what these guys who can't talk and they make noise?
I can't actually mute him.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, apparently Hunter Sullivan has entered the building.
And left the door open.
Yeah.
Shut the door behind you.
Yes, dude. Stop.
All right. Now.
But I'm feeling much better now.
Did anybody hear Mr. Hardcore?
Well, now we need Hunter back.
Well, do we have to?
Testing. Only
if he shuts up. He never shut the door behind him when he came in, apparently.
Okay, let's see.
Testing,
attention, please.
Okay.
We're waiting.
Can we move along to the entrance?
No, hang on. You know, who's hosting the show here?
Rich?
No. Rich doesn't have a death.
I have a desk. I told you that last time.
All right, we're working
on a chair now.
All right.
Hunter, are you on a microphone or a headset?
I'm on neither.
Wow, you were just insane. All right.
How are you here?
I have a device which can hear my voices.
He's on a device.
In your head?
Well, most of the voices are in his head, yes.
I assume because it's too close to the
computer. They can't, they understand, etc., blah, blah, blah.
All right, ladies, let's get on to talking. Let's get right to the action. We start off with a fantastic tag team title match. Jamie Flynn and Kyle Stevenson taking on Erica Engel.
Robbo, I believe we're missing something.
Yes, yeah, we're missing something.
We already
covered it. It was a large segment of show there you're missing. It's not
Rob, I apologize, but we have to go over every segment. I'm sorry, but because of the end of the night, you realize that it's more important to show this as to boost your, you know, ending much better. So please, go over this match.
We talked about the intro.
We can sum it up really quickly.
Oh, did
Rob?
Gets pinned
3 times by Scotty Stone.
No. That's not what happened at all. Here's what happened. In the first ever world title match, opening match at Genesis, maybe in the entire PWA.
Disclaimer, Rob's mind might be a little fuzzy from all the knocking around Scotty Snow gave him.
All right, here's the thing. I come out there, and I just wiped the ring with Scotty Snow. And here's the thing. He cheated. He pulled my tights into gave me a small package, pulled on the tights, and got a 3 count. That's cheating. That is cheating. Luckily for me, this was a best out of 3 falls match. So I had more opportunities to win. So I went around and I kicked his ass a little bit more. And then, you know what the bastard did? He got a fast count from the referee, Dwayne Cross. Oh, yes, he did.
Don't you mean
well, that referee? Because that veteran bastard's against you, Rob.
He is.
Everyone's against you.
10 years. No, he is.
This is why we need a new class of referees.
Andrew Hansen fellow.
Well, he's fired. Nice guy. I fired Dwayne Cross, and I called for another referee. And some stuff happened.
I gotta say, I met one of our new referees last night, Mr. Paul London. Nice kid.
Well, not really. He's kind of a dick. But anyway.
He resembles Mark McNasty, which guarantees him to be a dick.
Oh, yeah. So then I called for another referee, and Cyrus Morin came out. You know what? I'm not even going to gloss over this. Cyrus Morin came out, and he attacked me with a steel chair, ladies and gentlemen. Attacked me with a steel chair.
I thought he attacked never mind.
Yeah, he attacked me with a steel chair. And that led Scotty Snow to hit the snowplow on me. And I hit my head on that steel chair. And Scotty Snow got the 3 count for the win in the world title.
Well, Rob.
Scotty the Panther Snow, our resident 10-year jobber, and I use that word very firmly here, won the PWA World Heavyweight Championship at Genesis.
Off of Rob Robinson.
Yes, and we can't forget here that it was Rob Robinson trying to take out Scotty Snow after his successful title victory, and it was the big, big, big redneck Jethro Hayes making sure that Robinson wasn't able to kill it.
Yeah, I don't even recall that happening. Thanks, Rich. Thanks. Yeah, Jethro. All right, we lost. That's fine. Anyway.
Yeah,
nobody likes him.
Yeah, so Jethro Hayes, calf tossed me out of the ring, but yeah. Anyway, so let's move on to our big tag team title match. Jamie Flynn, Kyle Stevenson versus Erica Engel and Mystery.
Which we all agreed was Thunderwolf.
Well, actually, I heard some inside info, and I'm gonna let this out there. I heard that it was going to be Lisa Sheldon, one half of the race.
I had heard that rumor too, but I didn't put any base behind it because she's probably off, you know, screwing Protean too many times a day to even bother.
So that's what I thought was going to happen, but I don't want to spoil it on PW Radio. Turns out it's a good thing I did, and I would look like a jerk. So please, somebody, go over the match.
Brian, I apologize. I was arguing with somebody off screen that they were going to spoil Raw for me, and I threatened to job them, and it wasn't Kyle this time. But you did mention Brian Renfro's bet, right?
Set up the match. Take it away.
Brian Renfro did bet $5,000 that it was Thunderwolf.
Really? Where does Brian get $5,000?
Well, he probably just saved, I don't know, maybe he invested in something. Maybe he invested in canned food and shotguns. But the point is that he made a bet, and it was a very good, solid bet, in my opinion, to go with Thunderwolf. Well, no, but if you think about the way most of us talked about it throughout the past couple of months, or the past month, whatever, most of us, other than Rob saying Lisa Seldon, figured it would be Thunderwolf. And again, Thunderwolf would have been a very valid person to put the bet on.
That's what didn't. Yeah. Isn't that what the four of us agreed on at the Genesis preview show?
Yeah. Bothered to listen to this podcast.
Did I miss the Grizzly Bear title match?
We're working.
Oh,
I had to go smoke.
All right.
That's very hardcore.
So please, what did the what happened in the match, ladies?
Well, Erica Engel, being brave or stupid, decided that she could take on both Flynn and Stevenson alone, since her mystery partner hadn't arrived yet. And yet, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more. So it's a pretty even match, actually, mainly because it's Erica versus Stevenson, which Erica must have been, taking it easy or something. But
which turned out against her for a moment.
Yeah, it turns out against her, but it didn't matter. It was a total collusion in the first place, as Jamie Flynn was, in fact, Erica Engel's tag team partner.
Don.
Thank you.
And is interesting, to say the least. Sadly, not completely unique.
Completely unique. I have never seen that done anywhere else before.
Yeah, not in the last week and a half, anyway. Nope. All right.
If they wanted to pull something off that we've seen before, that is perfectly fine by me. It worked for them. Kyle Stevenson, he hasn't really been pulling his weight or anything else here, so, whatever.
He's probably up to plastic surgery.
Yeah.
So yes, we have new tag team
champions.
He's
trying to make up for all the recent losses.
All right. Let's move on.
We have new tag team champions, yes. Jamie Flynn and Erica Engel. This means that Jamie Flynn has been tag team champion three times in the last 4 or 5 months or so with three different partners.
Yeah. Not going to go there.
I won't do it.
I
want to. Actually, later on I did it, but right now I won't do it.
Three or two. Because there's Hunter, there was Jethro, there was Flynn. Who's third?
There was Jethro, there was Inika, and there was Kyle Stevenson.
Stevenson was Jamie Flynn was tag partner.
Yes, there we go.
I thought you were saying that Kyle Stevenson. Okay,
All right. Yeah, but anyway, yes, and Jamie. By the way, it's new tag team champion technically,
and
still retaining new. Let's go on. Money in the Bank.
Does this count as a new? Because I checked the website, and when Jethro started his team with Hunter Sullivan, that counted as a new reign for the both of them. So does this count as a new reign for Jamie Flynn?
It's a new reign as far as
a new set of tag champs have been
dubbed, but it is still the same reign for Jamie Flynn. It does not account for a new. If he wasn't a 2-time champ, he's not a 3-time champ.
But the thing is
now
that you count tag team reigns by the team that is reigning. It's not by the individual wrestlers within the team. So it is indeed a new title reign, even though it's I don't know. I'm not going to accuse Jamie of trying to pad his numbers or anything.
Who has to accuse?
All I want
to
say is that Kyle, Holly, Stevenson got screwed.
So?
What the fuck?
So, we're at the Money in the Bank match.
We are at the Money in the Bank match.
Yes, going from original endings to original concepts.
Potentially exciting note of this match. Unlike typical Money in the Bank matches, we do not know what the contestants were fighting for.
Oh, I know what the contestant was fighting for.
The cure to Riona's syphilis?
No.
Oh.
Now, you know what? I honestly was not going to joke about Riona tonight, so come on.
Yeah, come on.
It's been a year, guys.
Those jokes
I know
what
it's I know, I know and that I, we are the
And trust me, we now got kings. Flynn to worry about.
We have the kings of we are the kings of bad, overly used running gags. We do this stuff more than Family Guy. But at the same time,
this reminds me of the time that I was... Anyway. please, let's talk about the Money in the Bank, the ladder match, the big one. Who's going to talk about this one?
Oh, come on.
I'm sorry.
Nobody wants to talk about it?
Good match, but it was entertaining, but some of the names in it just... like Shatterstar. It's Shatterstar.
And we essentially, the match comes down to the Russian Hammer and the Drunken Irishman.
You know, unlike Kyle Stevenson, Shadow Star actually does, you know, try.
That's true. Very true. He is a star compared to Stevenson.
You know, we had some newcomers.
He just doesn't try hard.
We had Jonathan.
Well, we had number one.
Yeah.
We had Ross.
We got some El Rey going on in this match. We got
and El Rey's a big guy. You know, he was Grizzly Bear champion before this.
So
Emperor Churchill,
Emperor Ian,
so was
Jake. And we had Fig Newton was in there.
So
that's my nickname for him now. By the way, Fig Newton. So you know,
and Emperor Ian did just win the title of King of All Royalty a few weeks ago.
Yes, he did.
He did do that.
So anyway,
except we're trying to go for names that aren't copyright infringement rich.
Oh come on! We hey, remember, like I said, completely original match endings to completely original concepts.
Anyway, basically, this match is just a let's get everybody a big Genesis paycheck match. So that's what happened, and Vitaly Petrov,
the Russian Hammer.
Yep, he ended up walking away with
Vitaly Smirnov.
I'm leaving this open for you.
With the briefcase.
The briefcase that contained...
Cam?
As yet to be determined.
Yes.
Okay. Very exciting.
We have...
It is! You see, to be honest with you, I had something that I wanted to do at Genesis after this match, but unfortunately, since I was getting ready for my match later on tonight, I didn't get a chance to talk to the production company. But I wanted to do another original idea, Radio Rich, and have this big wheel on the stage with all these choices and spin it, and whatever it came to would be what he got. I couldn't borrow the wheel from the other company. They didn't want to give it up, so
Cam,
I had to
Cam, let me ask
spin
you
the
something.
Wheel. Spin Cam. The wheel.
Yes, what?
Does Vitaly know what he won? Was there something actually in the case, or is it a blank slate? Does even he not know what he
Playboy
got?
Playboy in the case from 1980.
In the case, to be honest with you, was a piece of paper, and it said, "I owe you." But let me just tell you, Vitaly won the match. He will get something. It won't be small. It will be very big in terms of a reward. No, I'm not off for him, Riona, so sorry it was there.
Oh, that's right, you're offering to Flynn.
Yeah, might offer it to Flynn. He's had more partners than Riona, and I just gave away something later, but that's okay. Anyway, the point is that I wanted to leave it open for Vitaly to get a spot somewhere that will be best for him. In fact, I've already spoken to him, and he has requested specifically not to immediately be put into the world title situation. So we are going to discuss it together, and he gets to work with me to decide where he wants to be in terms of what he goes for, but it will be a title shot of some type.
It's another incident of Potato not going for the world title.
Yes.
Or Victor Stone dropping out of a world title shot. But you know what? A couple years ago, we had a situation where there was this, I can't remember the name of the match, but the winner had the choice of either going into a world title contendership match or challenging for the Grizzly Bear title directly. He went for the Grizzly Bear title directly and won it, I believe. So, you know, sometimes it's a matter of getting a choice of an immediate title shot or moving into a contendership for a title shot.
Well,
in this particular case,
Cyrus, who
who got to be internet champion, if I remember correctly.
And he was stripped of the internet title for being an idiot. That is right.
Speaking of internet title, wasn't that brought up in the Money in the Bank?
Yes,
in the Money in the Bank match. Yes, it was. Which, if our roster was bigger, I might have considered bringing it back, but it's not, so I won't, so let's move on.
Ryan's the champion. West.
Now, what? Again, what?
Well, technically, the internet title was combined with the television title.
To make the Grizzly Bear title. So, in fact, the Grizzly Bear title is the internet title.
And the TV title, but we have the TV title.
Which
back.
Is exactly,
technically, we could
demerge the titles.
Okay. Please, let's talk about the next segment.
Yes, this is one of the best segments in the entire night.
I don't think anybody cares about defunct titles. Yes, we're backstage. It's the catering table. Everybody's getting some food. There's some tasty stuff on there because it ain't no party like a PWA party, apparently.
Especially at Genesis.
Yeah, that's right.
How to treat staff right.
That's right. And then out of nowhere, Scotty Snow runs by yelling, "I won, I won, I won." And that's it.
No, I'm sorry, I have to correct you. He said it four times. But the point is, this is something he has done. periodically over the years. I believe, Rob, by chance, do you remember his first victory that began this little celebration of his?
No, it was far too long ago for me.
Yeah, it was probably in 2000 or 2001. He did win a match, and ever since then, at almost every event, whether you see it on air or not, he's running backstage celebrating that win. So now
that one win,
and now that he's done this, it seems he's back to the same thing. Point is, Scotty did indeed win, and we all know it now. Yeah. Now, this next match is definitely one of the sleeper matches of the night. So I think that Mr. Hardcore would very much like to go over this one.
Well, you know,
because, you know, Mr. Hardcore, he likes to put people to sleep.
A sleeper match means it was better than people expected.
Shut your damn mouth. It wasn't exactly the biggest match we expected. You know, you guys were talking about this had potential to be some great match, and it wasn't bad, but it just seemed like, maybe these guys' heart wasn't in it as much as they could have been. A little back.
Oh, I think Jethro's heart was in it.
Jethro, he wanted it. I think Malicious wanted to defend, but Jethro, he might have wanted the title more. Who knows? Maybe Malicious' head was somewhere else, but at the end of the day...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, too. I think he was looking too far ahead too quickly, as we'll find out later.
Well, regardless, Malicious got in a hit here and there, but through most of the match, Jethro dominated, and it ends with the planter, bada boom, 1, 2, 3, Jethro Hayes is your new TV title champion.
Poor Malicious, this close to getting that world title shot.
Hey, Rich, this is radio. We can't tell how close this close is.
Yeah. So anyway, the next
very
segment
close.
Backstage. I gotta admit, I really enjoyed this next segment. So who would like to? I mean, I'll talk about it, but unless somebody else.
I gotta second that. It made some joy come to my eyes. Yeah.
Okay. Basically, we're backstage. And we see a mysterious man lying face down on the floor, blood pooling around his head, and it's not anybody important. It's just, you know, Thunderwolf.
Dustin. Yeah.
Yeah. And it turns out, of course, it's Corey Lazarus,
who is jealous of Thunderwolf. Really good way to handle that.
Well, there's a lot of history there, and it would take about 4 hours just to describe that.
Or a Riona promo.
But possibly a Riona promo might cover it all.
It might. Anyway.
So yeah,
I'm just saying that Riona doesn't cut any corners. That's all. So.
Corey Lazarus wanted to make sure Thunderwolf wouldn't be getting involved in his Intercontinental title match tonight.
Oh, please. Are you really that naive, Rich?
No. I'm quoting him here.
Quote him all you want. He's pissed off that Thunderwolf stole Annika away from him. It's obvious. We all know Lazarus. He's a jealous son of a bitch. He don't get what he wants. He acts out. Thunderwolf took his woman, and he took Thunderwolf's
woman. Lazarus took Thunderwolf's woman first.
All right. Anyway, let's move on to the next segment.
Yes, let's.
Where all we right. get to see the where we get to see the grand, awesome return of Bud Adams.
And at Genesis, the perfect place for such a big name.
Indeed.
Yes. Yeah, but you know, he looks good for all that he's been through. I mean, this is the guy that nearly murdered Project X before Enica murdered Project X. So, you know, if Adams ever does put up with his wife because of all the baby things at home, maybe Adams and Enica could get together. They have something in common.
Yes,
That's a scary combo.
They both date whores.
Anyway,
this led directly into the return to the ring of
Razor.
All right.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, skip my promo. Jeez, thanks, but that's okay. Everybody saw it.
I didn't see a promo.
Well, no, you said this leads directly to the return of, and I was already there, so I thought you were.
Chameleon talked about Hunter Sullivan some
you know, Rich, you
and
know
how much he likes the Grizzly Bear title.
That was the longest 5-minute metaphor I've ever
seen. It was a filler.
It was filler. Come on.
That's right. It was a filler.
Chameleon is all about filler, and apparently it works, so, you know.
I'm curious about, I'm going to hold off on this until after this match.
All right.
Let's talk about
the return of
Razor
to the PWA ring, taking on Victor the Beast Stone.
I'm sorry, Mark, you are not your brother.
That's damn right about that, thank God.
Come on, let's go over it.
Yep, the Beast versus the Monster. It was a good, you know, I gotta admit, it was a good match. Back and forth, they got bloody, they got vicious, they didn't cut any corners with each other, they went...
Oh, vicious, well, doesn't wrestle anymore.
Yeah, true. But, you know, I mean, they got violent with each other. Do we have somebody with a violent nickname? No? Okay, so they got violent with each other. They broke each other down. But in the end, you know, you mentioned it on the last PWA radio that technically PWA is now 10 years old. Okay? So, that's true. This is Genesis 9, but we've been here 10 years. And if you look at it after this match, Razor is now 8-1-1 for Genesis because he competed twice 1 year. So he's not
Who beat him that one time?
Let's see, that happened before. I can't remember his name. Scotty Snow, maybe?
No.
It was King Agony?
No.
I almost beat him in WrestleMania, Genesis 2, so that's,
games don't count, my friend.
Yeah, hey, I don't know.
Did you get a copy of Legends of WrestleMania?
But you see, Phoenix got out of a cell before Razor did. He never pinned Razor.
A win is a win, as you well know.
That's true. Remember that later on. You're right. There's no doubt about it that you got the W in that match. You just couldn't beat Razor to do it. You had to escape.
It's not that I couldn't. It's that I...
getting antsy at each other. How cute.
So let us go. Let's go on.
So, yes, but Razor...
Tombstone Shoulder Breaker beats Victor Stone and survives yet another Genesis, continuing his streak that no other man in PW history has ever been able to do and won't be able to do. So, him. But you know what?
Top Razor streak because he's the only person to be at every Genesis.
That's right, exactly. But, you know, his match is over now. He's done his part. We move on to the greatest match of the night.
Indeed.
According to some people.
Well, according to the people that matter, yeah.
Who?
And everybody's quiet because nobody can argue against that. Yay!
I'm just trying to decide, how can this be the greatest match of the night when it didn't involve the Phoenix?
Because it didn't involve the Phoenix.
Scotty Snow and Phoenix.
That Scotty Snow winning the PWA World Championship was the greatest moment in the history of our industry today.
You're right. Greatest moment, but not greatest match. I mean, we're talking about the Iron Man match at Genesis, a full 60 minutes with all these other matches.
With the amount of matches on this card, how exactly did you, Hunter, get the approval to do 60-minute Iron Man match, especially
because Genesis was a 4-hour pay-per-view. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, and we do own the building, so it's not like we had to be out any time in particular.
Yeah, and I bought extra pay-per-view time. It was really easy because everybody wanted it. But anyway, it was an Iron Man match. So, Hunter, would you like to talk about this?
Did you call him Huntard?
Well, no, but I could.
Huntor!
Quite frankly, you dropped me on my head a lot, and I don't remember a lot of it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me remind you. We went for 60 minutes. You got me in a lot of submission moves. You made me tap. Congratulations. But, you know, I tapped really quickly because... Hey, I'm not done here. We tapped really quickly because strategy gets me out of that move much faster if I just go ahead and tap. And, yes, you know, I told you I would give you a handicap in this match, which I did, because a couple low blows, a couple hits with the chair, you know, you got the points, but I damaged you so I could come back. And I tell you what, man... Like I said at the end of the match, I gave you all the credit in the world for putting me through one of the most hellacious matches I have had in the last 5 years. I can only think of two that did better, and it's just because they're different people than you. So I give you all the credit. But I think, as much as this match was awesome, and we both agree it was, it was 60 minutes, would you get to comment about what you found out after the match?
Not particularly.
Why not?
Okay,
have I not told you for 3 months I'm the most devious son of a bitch in the business today? I thought so.
Okay, so let Radio Rich do this so there's not so much bragging involved. We don't want to be here for the rest of the night.
Rob, come on. You know, we're good at bragging, aren't we?
That's the point.
For sure.
Even though I haven't talked to main event yet, I mean we're the two best guys here right now, so we'll brag
a
little bit.
The company, of course you are.
But please, what happened? Right. I need to know.
Come on, Rich, tell Rob what happened.
All right, here's basically the deal. Mark Somers here. He called out the person that started it all. The man that hired Hunter Sullivan over there to take him out and to cost him his match all the way back in October at London's Burning against Fiona Langley. That was later in the night. No, I'm getting Chameleon's retribution in my
There you go. Yeah, it was that Daniel Davis referee.
It was the referee match. Okay.
Yes.
So Chameleon calls out this person, this mysterious voice, this pair of hands, this enigma.
Yes.
And it turns out to be
Eric Draven?
Mark Somers himself.
Oh, uh-huh.
A hit out on himself.
And don't you think when you consider all that has happened in the last 4 months, how obvious it's been the whole time? If you think about
That was a brilliant Xanatos gambit, I gotta say.
Thank you. You know, you would think it's Robinson, or even Mark McNasty, who had damn good reason to do it. You would think it would be those two, or you know, even Thunderwolf would be a name, or Nina Damon Macabre. She's always been on my ass to cause me problems, but no, never mind. You know, Eric Draven's gone. We don't care about him. But the point is that if you think about it, I get to take this 2-month break and rejuvenate. Then I get my power back, even though I have to share it with Robinson. I get a chance to book Hunter to take the Grizzly Bear Championship. And, you know, I knew he was going to do it because he's capable. So I get this all lined up, and here I am at the best shape of my life with the power to control 50% of this company, headlining a main event at Genesis for the Grizzly Bear Championship. And how could Chameleon possibly be in this position if somebody is truly trying to take me out? No, sorry, it's not that way. I hired Hunter Sullivan to give me this spot. And it worked.
I'm curious. Had Hunter won the match, what would you have done there?
Why do you have to ask stupid questions, Rich?
Yeah, why do you have to ask stupid questions? The point is, I said in my promo down there, it only takes a second. But the point is, it was a risky gamble. But Rich, I can't be the most devious son of a bitch in the business if I don't take these risks sometimes. You know, so I took a risk.
It's a waste of time to ask if, because if didn't happen.
Yep.
That's true.
Yep, that's right.
Fantasy
booking is popular online for some reason. Well, so I just wanted to see what could have been.
All right. Well,
okay.
But it wasn't. Here's what's could have been. We got to move on because we're running late on time here. We got a lot to talk about. Not much time to do it. So let's move on, please, ladies. All right.
That's because you like the next spot.
Well, I do like the next spot, but we have been talking for 45 minutes. We gotta wrap it up.
Yeah, that's true. But we had to wait for people tonight, which should have known better. But
no, I'm saying we've been
recording. So in the next segment, Snotty Snow's celebrating his win. Go ahead, Rob. This is your moment.
Yeah, this is my moment because I go in and I try to reason with Scotty. I try to tell him that. Look, dude, this is all fun and games, but give me the title back because you're not a world champion. And Scotty thinks he is. And because of that, I even tell him that we've got this really elaborate entrance that we spent a lot of money for my match. And he thinks he's just going to use my multi-million dollar entrance. Yeah, not likely.
Multi-million, Rob, we're going to have to talk about that later.
Multi-million, with an M, not a B.
Well, yeah, but still, multi-million. I don't know if I approved that much. We'll talk about it later. It's okay. Go on.
It was fantastic.
Papers were on your desk. You signed for it. Don't worry about it.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Anyway, so...
We'll talk about your gate later.
So, anyway... No, just take it out of Knife Striker's cut. Anyway, so...
Yeah, okay. You're fine. Yes, we will.
So I present... I call in my manager, Fantastic Andy Strickland, manager Stars. He comes in with a CD player and referee and hands me a piece of paper. I show it to Scotty. It's my contract, my rematch contract for a Falls Count Anywhere match for the world title. Scotty, idiot that he is, thinks it's for fucking Rampage. And no, it's for right then and there. I kick his ass all around the locker room. Don't waste any time like I should have done first thing in the evening. Wouldn't have had to resort to this. And I make the pin. Andy plays my music on the little CD player, and once again,
well, once again, what?
I'm the world champion.
Okay, thank you.
Phoenix is a five-time PWA world heavyweight champion.
I am. I would say I'm in rare company, elite company, because Cyrus Morin, one of only two other men besides me to have accomplished this, but then the third is Showtime. So I'm not really sure how big an honor this really is.
I am curious.
Two and a half.
Yeah.
Can I, Radio Rich has one question.
Sure thing.
Again?
Wasn't Chameleon in charge of any world title bookings that you may have been a part of, Rob?
Well, if you can hold that question off for a few more minutes, we will answer that for you.
All right.
Let's get on to the second big main event of the night.
The bathroom break of the night.
You took a 28-minute bathroom break? Dang.
I enjoy what I do.
It's probably because he had the power sauce bars.
Yeah. Ah.
God damn
it. It's like Romulan ale. It's illegal, but it gets in there.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means, you Trekkie dork. All right. Let's go on. So please, Radio Rich.
You don't know what it means, but then you say Trekkie dork. Okay,
you know what? Anytime there's something said like that, I don't know what it means. Trekkie dork is almost always applicable.
nice fallback. Anyway, let's go on to this
100. All right, so Rich, I know you love this because you're a great big work rate wanker. So please,
I am a work rate rant wanker, and
that's hard to start.
I can't.
Yeah,
say
it is a little.
Work. Nope, not even one.
No, I can do it.
All right.
Anyway, tell us all about this.
Okay, so let's start off the night with the fact that Riona somehow managed to pull this ridiculous entrance that may have actually overshadowed yours.
No, right? No. This was like a $10 entrance. Multi-million dollars over here.
We'll get she got the band, the actual band that plays her theme, to show up, and
have
she sang with
heard
them.
Of them. I've never even heard of them.
You never heard of Nightwish?
No.
Neither have I.
Yeah. So come on, Emo, tell us.
You follow, good metal.
How is that supposed to be expensive?
Why are you talking
about
good
play.
Metal? That
they probably took
sense.
Them away from a coffee shop, so, I mean, it's really not all that expensive.
All right.
Yeah, so about the match.
Yeah, that's those guys cut my grass, to be quite honest.
Well, basically, the match, a 28-minute long match, it was, which makes me think, man, Hunter and Chameleon, they had so many falls, it took these guys 28 just to get one. Anyway,
I think we already explained that. Thank you very much.
And we talked about this before the show. Once you get that first pin or submission, the rest just fall like dominoes because the person's tired, they're worn out. If they can't kick out that first time, they're most likely not kicking out again. So they just start.
And it's also
up.
A different state of mind. I remember when Robinson McNasty happened, they were both talking about that when you're in that match, you think differently because the first fall don't matter.
Yeah, that's right. You make it up. You can make it up in that hour.
Don't matter.
Okay.
All right. This match was a great showcase of how much that Riona and Lazarus know each other, because they pulled out pretty much all of their signature moves, and it was most of them were reversed into other signature moves. Woohoo!
Well, all right then.
Like I said, Riona went for the detonator four times before she was actually able to hit it. For one thing, but
it's so wrong.
And we had lots of fun involving poor Gregory Price. Yeah,
well, you must tell the listeners.
Well, okay, Gregory Price was knocked the fuck out twice in this match. First Corey shielded himself with his agent when Riona went up for the Angelic Euphoria to the floor, and then Riona returned the favor by using Gregory as a shield when Corey went through with a swan dive suicidal plancha.
Is Price on the A health insurance, Cam?
I don't think so.
No, he's on the management health insurance plan.
So he gets like a get well card, and that's
yeah, right.
he gets a band aid.
Well, you got to understand that I have invested in a half-off card shop, so I'm able to send out these cards at a discount. So, well, you got to think about it. Being an owner of a card shop is really good. It's better than a flower shop because we can be everywhere, and it's easier to print. We don't have to worry about growing it. And finally, with all the economic crisis going on, we're sending out a lot of sorry cards to big executives. So we're good. So
and
let's
with
move
all
on.
The Hallmark holidays, it's a good business.
Yes, it is. All the fake ones.
So anyway, this Intercontinental Championship match ends on the top rope where Riona goes for a avalanche tourniquet and Corey Lazarus knocks her in the head about six or seven times with his elbow and hits the Sands of Ishtar. 1, 2, 3. We have a new Intercontinental Champion after about 150 days.
All right. And that brings us to...
the end of the show? Oh, no. Sorry.
No.
Gotta get through this and then be the end of the show. Because the end of the show, it's cool. You gotta admit, the end of the show is really cool.
I do wanna mention though. Wow, Corey actually hugged Riona.
Yeah, didn't he not listen to us for the last year?
Without the hazmat suit, dumbass.
I'm sorry,
but you had to lead us right into that one.
Well,
I don't lead. I follow when it comes to these now. So
I just, Well, I was thinking it more along. The traditional lines of, hey, wow, they just spent about 30 minutes trying to kill each other, and it's a hug. Yeah,
I didn't hug Hunter. I don't know what was up with him.
Wait, you just said that Jamie hugged her. Who hugged her?
I said Corey.
Everyone hugs her.
You said
Corey hugged Riona.
You're drunk.
After the match.
All right.
Moving on. We got us a world title match.
Yes, we have a world title match.
All right, let me tell you about this entrance.
Jamie Flynn.
Yeah, Jamie Flynn versus the Phoenix is the match is supposed to be, not Jamie Flynn versus Scotty the Panther. Goddamn Snow.
Which would have been a fun match to watch.
No,
that would have been.
Not for me, it would have been.
It should have been a triple threat is what it should have been.
Yes.
Your mouth. So, Jamie comes out to the ring. The one half of the current PWA tag team champions. And then my entrance, it was fantastic. We got a whole choir out there to sing Carmina Burana, the O Fortuna part of
the same choir that's... Wow, okay.
What? It's fantastic. The lights go out, there's thunder, there's lightning in the arena, some rain effects maybe.
Yeah, Stealing Razor's entrance. Way to go. Go on.
Yeah, that's right. Because I even got Hooded Man come out, they light these torches all around the arena. It's fantastic. And then, this giant bird.
A flaming bird
appears above the ring, flies down, bam, explodes on the top of the ring, leaving a giant pile of ashes. Yeah, fantastic. And then, rising
crash
up out
and burn, ashes, Rob. Crash and burn.
Do you not understand what a phoenix is? Do you not?
Yes,
anyway.
I know what a phoenix is.
And then, rising up out of the ashes, your PWA World Heavyweight Champion, the Phoenix. The final countdown starts. For Jamie Flynn. Yeah, you see? You like how I went in there? Alright. It's the no DQ, no count
out. You were in this match, please describe it.
You know what? It was just pure awesomeness from bell to bell. Jamie Flynn came into this match, and he talked a good game. Now, he's only been beaten up till Genesis by I don't know if it's actually five separate men beat him. I didn't look that up. He's only lost five matches. I don't know if it's five separate men. I know Peyton Strader was one of them.
Now, Peyton Strader, Riona Langley, Corey Lazarus, and Victor Stone.
There was the tag title tourney match, then there was the one the following week, which was Engel and someone else taking
it. This is not a man that's used to losing, is what I'm getting. One of the premier athletes of the PWA, which is a sorry statement. Anyway, we're not getting into that. I've already said my piece about Jay Flint.
Rob, now was this match no DQ like we talked about last week?
This was indeed a no DQ match. That
went in your favor, Rob.
Well, you know, ironically, my initial thought was I wanted a straight up match because I just wanted to show the world that I could out wrestle the technically. Supposedly technically superior Jamie Flynn, but Jamie, you know, he basically wanted the no DQ match because he wanted to just whip my ass, apparently. But you know what? You don't fucking pull that on the Phoenix, because you do that, you pull that on the Phoenix, you know what happens? Moke Dashke and the Dragon whip your ass. That's what happens when you pull that on the Phoenix. And that's just a tactic. That's a strategy. It's not cheating. Okay, that's a tactic. And then, of course, Cyrus Morin's our guest referee. Cyrus, known for his, he doesn't put up with that, and so he kind of took care of Might and Magic. But the damage was done, and that's all that really matters. So, you know, Jamie fought, and he fought hard, and
put up the match of his life.
You know, and he pulled out all these moves. He did a lot of, you know... A lot of stuff trying to, you know, move fast, and he's got me in agility and stuff like that. And he probably knows a couple more holds than I do, 1,006 to my 1,004. But
how many arm bars?
Oh, I know all the arm bars. I made up a couple. But what happened is ultimately I got up on the top rope. I come down, try to hit the ashes. He rolls out of the way. We fight it out. I come out the better of that one. Scoop him up, go for the flame. He actually won't let me pick him up for the it's a cradle pile driver for anybody that doesn't know. And why wouldn't you know what the flame is? But he actually backdrops me. He scouted me. You see, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, Radio Rich? You wanker.
Yeah.
He scouted me. He knows.
I'm a fucking wanker. I know it.
He knows all of my moves. So fortunately. Fortunately, I was prepared for just such an occasion. I've been working on a new finisher, excuse me.
The Screaming Soul 7000.
I'm here. I heard this one.
Oh, yeah.
The crying of a million shattered souls yearning to be free.
that
and
is
now I have a question. Is this new finishing move just based on...
What?
Yeah, it's just new finishing move just based on some of the long names that other people have. Or
hey, what's your psych out, ladies? Did you not listen?
Yes, we were. Of course, we heard it. It's the pink slip. Pink slip. We just had to make a reference to that to the awesomely egotastic bad name that was.
Yeah. See, John McDaniel bought it, so don't feel bad, Chameleon. Yeah, it's a half Nelson neck breaker, which is a fantastic move. Yeah, he wasn't prepared for that, and that actually combined with my good friend
half Nelson knee break, half Nelson knee in neck breaker to the knee,
or well, knee to the neck, I guess you could say. Yeah, yeah, lift him up, half Nelson comes crashing down his neck across, you know, my outstretched knee. It's a fantastic move.
Oh, apparently it worked.
Oh, it
yeah,
job, because you know. And that's the kind of thing, you're fighting someone like Jimmy Flynn, he's got all this offense, you know, and he's scouted out everything that you've got, you know, offensively. You got to bust something new out. That's the only thing you can do.
Agreed.
He's not prepared for. So, yeah, so I won, and it was fantastic, and that was it. I just celebrated, and I had a daiquiri, you know, strawberry.
There was some stuff that happened afterwards, and we have to get involved on this because it involves our other great president, it seems, Mr. Mark Summers.
Yeah, come on, Rob. At this point, don't forget that part.
All right, so
yeah.
Here's what happened. Is I'm celebrating in the ring. I'm all happy. Jamie Flynn's, you know, he's walking backstage, his tail between his legs. Malicious comes out. Malicious, this little fucking pipsqueak. He comes out. Thing is, he gets in the ring. He's staring me down. I'm trying to celebrate. Let the fans just love me as they do. And Malicious is looking at me. And I tell him, I'm like, pal, get the hell out of my ring. You lost your TV title. You didn't get that third defense. You got nothing going on in this ring.
Which is true. He shouldn't have been there.
That's right.
It didn't stop him. I believe I saw him get a hit or two in on you.
He just stares me down. And so, you know what? I got it. I got this taken care of. If I'm able to take care of Scotty Snow and Jamie Flynn, Malicious, cake. Of course, I it didn't really occur to me that, you know, I had just fought Jamie Flynn and Scotty Snow. So maybe that
was... And that was like your third or fourth official match of the night already.
Yeah, that was...
And then you have to think about this, that you had a full meal. There's no room for cake.
Oh, that is true. That is true. You got to load up on the carbs before you wrestle. Energy.
That's right.
So
you ate Jamie Flynn for breakfast.
That was dinner because it was late at night. But anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
Unless you go to Denny's.
Yeah, so...
Denny's is fucking awesome.
So, out of nowhere, frickin' Malicious hits me with this, what you call it?
Salt slam.
Yeah.
Salt slam.
Slam.
It's a fall-away moonsalt, basically. Yeah,
it's a very familiar move used by a very particular individual, what it is.
Indeed. We soon see when Malicious takes off his mask to reveal Alex Wilkie for the second pay-per-view in a row, and we're like, the fuck?
It really is a lie.
Hey, remember, we had it censored, so it's not technically the second pay-per-view in a row.
Oh, that's true. That's true. The second PWA pay-per-view in a row. How about that?
Thank you.
How much head drama did you take last night, Rob?
It was our old broadcasting partner, Mark McNasty, is apparently.
And didn't I fire him?
Apparently not well enough.
Well, don't you remember the chat we had last week? You said that you fired McNasty because we didn't have health insurance, but then you go start talking about he has better health insurance than Rob.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
What's your point? I still fired him.
McNasty decides he's going to get some shots in on me, and I don't know why. I thought we were buddies, but apparently not.
Yeah, it wasn't you that fired him.
No. In fact, technically, it was me that hired him since I brought Malicious in, but whatever.
That's true.
But then Chameleon comes running out, because Chameleon's all like, if somebody's going to be beaten down on Rob Robinson, then goddammit, I want in on this party.
It's going to, if anyone's going to
beat down Rob,
it's going to be Mark Summers.
Yeah, because, you know, we've been doing that for 10 years.
It's like everybody wants a piece of that world title. So they're going to give me the old double suplex, and I'm not happy. Then out of nowhere, McMillian shoves me away, and I only know this because I'm watching tape, because I'm not having a good night at that point. Shoves me away, goes to super kick McNasty right in the face, sweet sound success. McNasty sees it coming, steps backwards, drops down to the mat, rolls out of the ring, and that's it.
Decides to fight another day.
Yeah.
A tactical retreat.
Well, that's right. I mean, because by that time, he actually backs up into me, drops down, rolls away, so... You know, the discretion is a better part of valor, and, you know, McNasty knows.
And now I'm sure the question is on the table.
McNasty bravely ran away.
Oh, yeah, so I guess that actually goes back to Rich's question about my ability to get a rematch with Scotty Snow so quickly.
What was the question again, Radio Rich?
Chameleon, don't you have control over any title opportunities that Rob would have been involved in?
You're exactly right, I do. I am the one that signed the contract that gave him his immediate rematch.
Okay.
Yep, and that's why we're friendly now. For the first time in 10 years, we are on the same page.
Same page, not friendly. Let's get that clear.
Well, Cam, what Kool-Aid have you been drinking?
The tasty
Yoo-hoo.
Kind. Yeah, Yoo-Hoo.
Yeah.
And I gotta admit, this all began when Rob introduced me to Yoo-Hoo and got me to take my first sip.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, but let's put it straight on the table right now. Robinson hired Malicious, who ended up being McNasty, so sadly, McNasty has a contract, and due to the fact that I had a tongue slip about the medical insurance, I guess I have to let him stay, and I signed a contract to give Phoenix his immediate rematch, and you see, you got to look at it this way. For those of you who haven't gotten it yet, because apparently you couldn't get it that I was behind the Hunter situation, you know, Robinson has control over my career, and I'm the Grizzly Beer champion, and I have control over his career because he's the world champion. The best way, the most devious way to ensure that either of us get the best matches that we want is to have a little bit of camaraderie, I guess you could say.
I'm considering it collusion.
It starts with a C. It starts with a C, it works.
Is your friendship just platonic, or are you two going to be really good buddies?
We are not tagging like Figgins and Hunter, I'm sorry.
All right, as long as no figgy pudding's being made.
Nope. All right, folks.
There's no front to back in that one.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's the entire Genesis recap for this week. We're going to call it a podcast.
Break.
Call it a break.
Can we take just 2 minutes and quickly run over next week since it does begin the Who's the Man tournament?
All right, real quick, you got 2 minutes, go.
All right, 2 minutes. Next week in our Who's the Man tournament, we have 4 major matches. We're going to have Jamie Flynn versus Razor, which should be our main event, but based on what our main event's going to be, we're skipping that. We got Jacob Finns versus El Rey de Corazones, which should be a good match. Mark McNasty is going to get into Who's the Man against Shadowstar, and, you know, we got Hunter Sullivan against Emperor Ian. So, you know, I'm fair. I am so fair. These guys, they're getting into the Who's the Man tournament because I'm such a good guy. Then you've got the TV champion, Jethro Hayes. Hold on, I'm going to finish this. I got 2 minutes.
Okay.
In a non-title match against Annika Engel. And there's a reason for the non-title match, and I'll get to that next week. Corey Lazarus versus Vitaly Petrov, whatever his name is. You know,
also non-title.
Yep, Money in the Bank, non-title against Corey Lazarus. And then we got Riona Langley against John Ryker, number one, which should be a good match. But it's the main event that we're going to talk about. We've got Scotty Snow and Jacob Collins, teaming up against the first ever time team of the Phoenix and Chameleon for the main event. And I can tell you right now, that's going to overshadow every other match you could possibly think of in that whole night.
You're taking on your little nephew?
Yeah, I don't get that.
You don't get it?
Why the Summers family feud here, man?
Why are you putting the job squad against yourself? Like, you really got to beat the crap out of your inexperienced little cousin.
Oh, come on. Scotty Snow is a former world champion, and I'm putting my nephew into the main event, and you're going to down-talk these guys?
Yes,
you're going
I'm
to say the defense?
I'm not down-talking the ability there.
Am,
I'm saying,
I am willing to
why are you
the job squad?
Why are you... Why are you picking on your nephew?
I can wrestle a classic match with my nephew. I'm not out there to super kick him in the face like I would Hunter Sullivan or, you know, Mark McNasty.
For former world champion and PWA Hall of Famer, Scotty Snow.
That's right. That's right. I mean, I couldn't think of two more, you know, challenging men for Phoenix and I to go against. We're going to get our ass
off because Scotty Snow already.
Cam, you bring up one thing I want to touch on. You mentioned, I forgot to mention it when we discussed your match, but you talk about great competition. Last week, you promised me a Grizzly Bear title match when you won that title. When do I get to collect?
Oh, okay. The Grizzly Bear Championship is supposed to be defended bi-weekly. You can have it next week.
Awesome.
All right.
But remember, I choose the stipulation.
Long as it ain't a Cam wins match.
No, I'm not following a Mark McNasty thing, trust me.
No, that was Alex Wilkie, if I remember correctly.
Okay. Well, you know, you two were tag partners for so long, I get you mixed up.
Yep.
All right, I didn't tag with him in BWF. That was Casey Campbell, the Soup Man.
Mr. Hardcore.
I'm sorry, man. I know you want to have that Grizzly Bear title, but be prepared for some, like, you know, pure rules match or, you know, fair wrestling. I don't think Chameleon's going to do what you think.
I trained in Japan for plenty of months, man. I can do the wrestling. Don't worry about it.
All right.
Yeah, keep talking, and tell me everything you know about yourself because I'll just know what to do against you next week. But we're going to say it right here. Next week. There you go. Grizzly Bear title match. You want main event? We'll make it main event.
I can dig it. So I hate hardcore matches. I don't know how to fight them. What is a weapon? Well. Somebody must explain this to me.
All right.
How are you, Mr. Hardcore? I can read sarcasm.
I think I might have to cut you all off. All right, we're going to take a break. We should have an interview coming up after this. If for some reason the interview doesn't actually go through, then that's the end of the show. So...
Ah, so no ass razor, yay!
Yeah, we don't have time this week.
Unless, of course, we have it after the interview, which we may or may not have.
There's so many possibilities, it's impossible to say.
Yeah, that's true. But, and I missed it, because, you know, I like to pick on my brother sometimes.
All right, we will...
Anyway, good night.
Yeah, be back.
Close the curtains.
Can't you see I'm easily bothered by persistence? One step from lashing. My skin and call yourself a friend. I've got more friends like you. What do I do? Is there no snacking anymore? What it takes, who I am, where I've been belong. You can't be something you're not. Be yourself.
Hey, and we are back. Apparently, we are going to be doing an interview this week. See, we recorded the Genesis thing last night while we had the full crew, and I told them maybe this will happen, maybe it won't. So apparently, the podcast listeners are lucky. We got Corey Lazarus this week. I think I might have mentioned that. So say hey.
Hello.
Wow, sounds an awful lot like pussy in here. So, you know what? That was a bad introduction. I'm going to redo that.
Now, wait a second. Was that good pussy or like bad pussy, like Riona?
That was like chameleon pussy. No, wait. We're on the same side now. That was Mark McNasty style pussy.
Ooh, so yeah. It's all crusted over and smelling and not the good crawling and
But allow me to start over. We have with us brand new Intercontinental Champion.
Damn straight.
Former world champion and PWA Hall of Famer, Corey Lazarus. How about that?
That sounds great. Only you left out the part where I was Hall of Famer after my rookie year.
Yeah, well, that's... there we go. I think that says it all. So, you know what? Let's just get right to it. You beat Riona Langley. I think she has the record for holding on to the Intercontinental title for the longest, and you dethroned her. So, how's that?
Of course she has the record for it. She hasn't defended it since November, and I don't know why. I mean, I've had to defend titles where I've been in contention for other titles before. I don't know why she got the lucky break, but I mean, can't really take much away from her because she did kick my ass quite a few times. So,
yeah, this was your first victory over Langley, right?
Oh, yes, and what a victory it was.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm betting you probably studied my matches where I beat her twice in a row. That was probably the high point of your training for the big pay-per-view.
No, Phoenix, because I kind of beat her by myself. I didn't need anybody else. I didn't need any sneak attacks. I didn't need five other people to wear her down for the last hour or so. I went against her myself and took her out.
Well, that's... That hurts. I'm not going to lie. That hurts a little bit. But, either way, we're both big winners this week. You know, you got your IC title. I successfully defended my world title. So, there we go. Now, let's see. You've been with PWA since off and on since, was it 2000? Was it 99?
January 2001, actually.
Oh, damn it. It was so close. I probably should do research, but... So you're officially an old-timer?
I guess so. I mean, kind of feels weird to say that. I mean, I'm only 30, so...
Yeah, that's, you know, you get started young, and that's what happens. But, so what have you done, you know, because PWA, as some listeners may not be aware, you know, hasn't been around for 10 years straight. So what did you do in between the time when you, you know, became a PWA Hall of Famer in your rookie year and, you know, now, today, when you're Intercontinental Champion?
For a short time, I left PWA because my contract was up and I felt like just taking some time off from the ring. So I went and just filmed a couple of movies and just enjoyed the lifestyle that I used to, that I grew up with. I did a movie called On the Downside, which you may or may not have heard of. I actually won a couple awards for it.
Is that, an adult movie?
No, but I wish it was. And, after that, I signed up to Unified Wrestling and then the old W4F and Elite Wrestling for a short period of time when I came back, and then I went to Liberty when... Who was that asshole? Was that Twilight? Was that Twilight that ran that?
I wasn't around for any of that. I was living on the streets drinking Yoo-Hoo out of a brown paper bag. Yeah.
They actually make brown paper bags small enough to have a Yoo-Hoo bottle in them.
Well, no, I had to kind of crumple it up.
Oh, okay.
Add a straw.
Ooh, you pussy. Yeah, I went to Liberty for a while and came within half a second of beating Marcus Collins clean in the center of the ring, which is something not a whole lot of people can say. And unfortunately, Aaron Faith, who used to be the machine, then decided to call himself the main event or whatever he decided to call himself. All I know is that it was a goddamn lie because I beat his ass every time I met him. He screwed it all up. So, after I left Liberty, because I had a little contractual differences, which seems to be a recurring theme in my career, as you'll see, I went on to high impact competition, and where myself and that fucking douchebag Dustin formed the Yakarol World Network, although of course he claims complete responsibility for it, even though it was the both of us that put it together.
Now, speaking of him, did you start out in SWA?
I did and I didn't. I mean, I was trained by Cliff, who was, you take away Thunderwolf and who was left in SWA, but Cliff Young. I was trained by him, and while he was working SWA, and he got me a couple of small dark matches there, but President Sanders didn't really, he didn't think I fit too well. He thought I wasn't, I don't know, I'm not sure. What Jesse told me one time is that he didn't think I was hardcore enough, which I've been in bloodier battles than anything the SWA ever produced. And so Cliff decided to call up you, and he ended up getting me a couple tryouts with PWA, and that's when I got signed, mostly because I think MVP actually gave you a couple under-the-desk favors with his mouth or so.
I see. I'm not going to comment on that, but yeah, okay. I was just curious because, I don't recall anything that happened past about a month ago.
I have that trouble too sometimes.
So, all right. So, and HIC was that Alex Wilcox's place? Am I remembering that right? I think I asked that if it comes up, but
I think so. I know Dalton Campbell ran it. I'm not sure if Wilcox. He ran Wilcox Telecom for a while, didn't he?
I think so. That sounds about right.
Yeah. I know Campbell was the president, commissioner, whatever he was of the place, but yeah, that place was a fun time. I actually started rising to prominence, if you will, amongst all the old-time AOWF superstars. I started making a name for myself then. So, sorry, I'm kind of trying to also get a couple other things done here. Just moved into the penthouse in New York, so.
Oh, you're kind of breaking up a little bit. Are you moving away from the microphone?
Yeah, I had to move a couple of things around the penthouse.
Oh, I see. Okay. So,
I like the estate, but it's not bad.
Yeah. That's, the economy sucks for everybody.
Yeah, it does. But yeah, HIC was a very fun place because, like I said, I was starting to really start to shine by myself in HIC. I mean, I had Dustin Kelser to my side. I had him always as a partner. I had, for a short time, I had Sinskin, that hunk of crap, as a partner. And also, I had that fabulous feud with Showtime, like the Battle of Hollywood, or whatever a couple of people crowned it, where it was really just him, the old school Hollywood wrestler, versus me. And, well, I kicked his ass a lot. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, that's really the way it should be. Yeah. The less said about Showtime, the better, I think. So
Went downhill. I mean, former PWA multiple-time PWA World Heavyweight Champion.
That's true. He is one of three people, only three people, who have held the world title 5 times, which is sad, I think. But excuse me. So, all right. So we got that far, and now let's just. Did you do anything between then and last? Gee, was it last January when the PWA started up again?
Oh boy, talking about the bulk of my career there, pal.
Oh, I see.
I
gloss over all the
after HIC folded and I decided to try out at Jonathan Wahali's place, Premier Championship Wrestling, because I figured, hey, I am the premier attraction. I might as well go work for the premier company. But that didn't work out too well because I got to the semifinals of the Premier Championship Tournament, and I kind of lost a ledge, which, that really doesn't... how should I put this? It doesn't look good in your career, I'll just say that, to lose to Nick Ledgerwood. I mean, he's just a really poor man's Chameleon ripoff, which says a lot because Chameleon's just a ripoff of, everybody else who came before him. Sorry, boss, but you are. And lost to him, took some more time off, do a couple other projects. I did some guest spots on TV shows, a couple daytime soaps, mostly some late-night comedy shit. But are we allowed to curse on this, right?
Fuck no.
Oh, well, aren't you a little fucking, a little stabby little cunt?
Yeah, that's... have you not listened to the show before?
I honestly do not have time that often to listen.
Oh, that wounds me.
I'm usually out doing appearances. I'm trying to get things straightened out with Emma. I'm trying to get straightened things out with Gregory. So...
No, yeah, yes, after I curse like a sailor, so...
yeah. After premiere, I took some more time off and then came back, like I said, to... No, that was before that. Then I came back because I found this place, Impact Championship Wrestling Federation. Got signed to that. Hated it. Hated every minute of it.
Nice.
But I found Chaos Heat Zone, which was just a small, underground, hardcore place. And considering I'm the only true living hardcore icon these days, I decided, hey, this would be a great place. I can milk these people for every penny they're worth, and I can put in half the effort because none of the people here I've ever heard of before. I go there, and within my, I think it was my second match there, actually, I won their hardcore title, which started to become a little theme, another theme throughout my career, just come in and instantly gain success and win a title. And then good old Sinskin came calling back because in HIC, I took some time off to nurse an injury. I think I hurt my elbow there, or was that my ribs? Well, it doesn't really matter, but took some time off. When I came back, he was dragging our team name at the time, TVMA. He was kind of dragging it through the mud. So I decided to put him through a stack of flaming tables. And, yeah, like I said, I always get the last laugh. And only unfortunately this time he got the last laugh because it was my final match with the company, and I flat out told the people who run it, listen, I don't care, whatever you want me to do, I'll give the belt to whoever you want me to, but I no longer under contract as of a couple days before, so you're gonna have to pay me triple what you normally would. I put no effort into it. I just sounded like a Canadian. I'm sorry. I just put no effort into it. And lost to Sinskin and whoever else was in that match, and then went to Death Row. So I guess me and Tupac do have something in common.
That might be the first time he's ever been mentioned on the old PWA radio.
Why, nobody remembers Tupac?
I don't think so.
I'm really dating myself now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I went to Death Row Wrestling Federation. I, once again, got a hold of Dustin, because at the time we were still friends. We were still very close. Got a hold of Brandon Nova, because I know how hard it is to get a hold of him, but we still had ties through the Acheron World Network that me and Dustin started. And me and Brandon came in as TVMA, which is a tag team name that I use quite often. First was me and Sinskin, then it was me and my friend Malcolm West. Third time was me and Brandon. Excuse me again. And then, right away, me and Brandon, we tear the entire place up. We come in, and people weren't expecting anything because they hadn't seen us on a national stage in roughly 6 months, so they were figuring, hey, they let themselves go. Ring rust is a big problem with them. And to be honest, I was kind of rusty. I lost my first match there. I lost it to Vern Michaels. So my very first match was for the FTW Championship, which I'm not sure if they meant fuck the world, full-time warrior, or for the win, but yeah, they did love their little obscure names for titles. I mean, there was a World Heavyweight title, but it was only brought in because the Eternal Champion, which was the top title there, was on injury leave, but they didn't want to strip him with the belt. So, yeah, me and Brandon, we completely run roughshod over everybody. I mean, one of the highlights of late 2004 when we came in there was we got attacked earlier in the night by Sean Moreau and Anthony Vitone, and we lost a lot of blood. I mean, if you check next time you look at my hairline, there's actually a pretty decent-sized scar from a lead pipe they attacked us with. We lost within milliliters of having to be hospitalized for blood loss. And then we came to the ring for the main event, which was us against Pete Ebden, who I know a lot of people know, and Lucas Knight, who was at the time a rookie, but now I hear he still wrestles. He may or may not be good now, but at the time he was just kind of meh. Excuse me. And we came within inches of winning, which is what really put TVMA over the top. And then Nova took off, just didn't return my calls, just completely backed out on his contract. And I received a shot at the Eternal title, which, like I said, was their world title equivalent, but they also had a world title. And then the world title and the Eternal title were merged because Pete Ebden had beaten Vern Michaels, who was at the time the Eternal champion, for the belt. And then we went into, it was, take the top six guys of the company. It was just one of those deals. Blah. I keep sounding Canadian. I'm sorry.
Really
rotten fucking Canadians. But it was one of those deals where you take the top six guys of the company, top six contenders to the title, and you put them all in one match. It was elimination rules. It wasn't quite a chamber, but it wasn't quite a Hell in a Cell. It was somewhere in between them. And every other post was on fire.
Uh-huh.
And wrapped in barbed wire. Because death roll... The Death Row Wrestling Federation was another one of these ultra-violent, hardcore, underground places. And another place where I went in excelled immediately. And I came up short just within, again, within inches of grabbing that Eternal title. Because Sean Moreau had hit his, I forget what he called it. It was a shooting star press, for better or worse, onto both myself and Ebden. Pinned us both at the same time, which was a huge, you know, little kick to the nuts of the old ego. And walked away the Eternal champion. Then a couple of weeks later, after nursing my wounds and my third-degree burns, which I since have had plastic surgery to get rid of, which costs way too much money, I challenged Ricky Jones to a Matter of Respect match, where beforehand we went in and said, listen, we want to pull the wool over Sean Moreau's eyes because Ricky, he hates you more than he hates me. I've been a thorn in his side since coming here. But he hates you more than he hates me. But I know I can beat him because I've done it before. And Ricky at the time was still having trouble with Sean Moreau. And Ricky said, okay, let's pull the wool over his eyes. Let's make it seem like a nice hard-fought contest. And let's just make him think that maybe you're going to be on his side. So Moreau comes out after the match because Ricky grabs a blowtorch. And acts like he's going to put it to me unless I tell him that, okay, I'm sorry, I quit, I respect you. And then Moreau takes the blowtorch from him, hands it to me so I can win the match. I knock his ass down, end credits, blowtorch him. And then Ricky just grabs a house mic and says, Les, I respect you, go win the Eternal title. Welcome to Cell Block 69, which was his little group, his little clique. And so next week, in Sean Moreau's hometown, I take him to his limit. I take everything he has. I kick out of everything. And finally, wham, Mercury Driver, 1, 2, 3. My first, like, world-caliber championship, the DRWF Eternal title. Then after that, before my very first defense against Rain Nightdine, who I know some of the people that actually still wrestle here in PWA know, I had to be admitted into rehab, unfortunately, so I had to forfeit the title. So, not really a period of time I like to talk about.
Okay. I don't know why. That seems very interesting.
Well, it wasn't for Yoo Hoo. It was for, what's the best way to say it? Maybe mounds and mounds of confectionery sugar.
Oh.
Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, that's...
I was making Tony Montana look like a lightweight.
Nice. That's, you know, you hear something I don't get. I don't understand, like, the people that wear, like, the Scarface shirts, like they're badass or something, like they didn't get the point of the movie or...
I never quite understood it either. I mean, being an actor, I'm also a student of film.
Uh-huh.
And that movie is just horrible. It is. If you look at the entire movie, it's horrible.
Yeah, you know, I caught it, you know, just a couple years ago for the first time. And Al Pacino, it definitely is all right, but it's kind of the beginning of Al Pacino's hugely overacting, you know, stage. From he was a great actor, you know, in like The Godfather and that type of thing. But then starting, I think, with Scarface, it was really just how over the top could he get? But the character of Tony Montana is, why would you want to emulate that? That's a guy.
I don't
know.
I guess plenty of people love the very thought of maybe wanting to have sex with their sister and killing their best friend for it, and then being massacred in your own home by the gang that you screwed over time and time again.
Well, yeah, I mean, that definitely... And you were too dumb to avoid it. That was the thing. You had an out, and you were too dumb to avoid it. But yeah, I mean, that's every little girl's dream, I suppose. That's neither here nor there. I just thought I'd bring that up because, goddamn, that's stupid.
Lightens the mood, that's all I gotta say.
All right, so does that bring you into the WA?
Not quite. One more stop, unfortunately. Right at the start of Death Row, when I told you I brought Dustin in, I brought Thunderwolf in, he won a number one contendership match in Death Row Wrestling Federation, which guaranteed him a shot within 30 days at the Eternal title. Now, unfortunately, that shot did not come soon enough for him, so he flaked on the president of the company at the time, Nick Madrid. He flaked and quit. He flat out quit the company, I mean, which he had the right to do, unfortunately, because his contract was written in such a way that he had 30 days within entering the company to decide to leave or not, and he chose to leave within that 30 days. The thing was, he didn't consult me before he left, and at the time, I had already gotten the vast majority of the Death Row Wrestling Federation putting a target on me. There was practically a price on my head. This is when I really started to bring Hollywood security everywhere I went, because there were people in the locker room who, as soon as they saw my limo pull up, they would be coming out after me with bats and chains and whatnot, trying just to get to me, because I was wreaking havoc in Death Row. I'm not afraid to admit it. And I'm not afraid to admit that it wasn't the best idea to do. I mean, you have these legitimate, hardcore, ultra-violent, crazy sons of bitches. You don't go in there and, you know, give them all the fingers, spitting on each one of their faces and say, hey, I'm the new guy in town. I'm the one that you're all now going to be bowing down to. You don't do that unless you expect pain. I didn't expect as much pain, unfortunately, which is what led to the need to go to rehab. But Dustin took off. After I got out of rehab, I found out where Dustin was. He was in this company called Pride and Honor, and he actually visited me while in rehab, and I explained to him my feelings on it, and he was a complete prick about everything. Just complete prick. Said, said I had no right to do what I did to Natasha, no right to do what I did to Misty, and I told him flat out, listen, I had every right because you shoved them to the side, just like you shoved me to the side. You've always thought I was in your shadow. You've always thought that I was never as good as you, which is where the real resentment comes from. Nuts, and him stranding me when the entire world was against me really set it off, you know? You dig? It really set it off. I mean, I'm sure you've had moments where somebody that you thought had your back, and then when you needed them the most, they just left. They up and left.
No, that's usually what happens to people that trust me.
Well, that's why I don't trust you, Rob.
Well, then you're smarter than half the roster.
I know I'm smarter than you. Hence why the finals of Who Was the Man last year were the way they were, sir.
Yeah, well, who's the world champion now? That's all I got to say.
Yeah, well, who needed a steroid-addicted German and a little... I don't even know what he is. He Chinese, Japanese, whatever his name is? You know, the generic dragon?
He wears a mask. I don't know. He's from parts unknown, just like Project X.
Well, Project X is a tool, too, so...
Wow, boy, that's
stupid. That stupid Michael Myers-looking motherfucker.
Wow, that's... He is a Mac Daddy, though. I don't believe there's any denying that.
He can be a Mac Daddy all he wants. He had trouble defeating anybody during his last little stint here.
That's because he was too busy getting laid. It's hard to get to the gym when you're, you know, in bed all day long.
I get to the gym just fine. And I win, and I still pull in more tail than anybody else on this roster. Except for maybe Amber Rose Churchill, but that's because you can tell that she is still in that experimenting, I'm in college phase.
Yeah.
I hate my mother and father phase still.
Nice. That's the time to get them, right there.
Yeah.
yeah. So, all right. So now, PWA.
Wait, I'm not done.
Oh, my God.
I know. I'm sorry. But actually, I'm not sorry. This is my fucking time. Fuck you. But, so I went to PHW, which is Pride and Honor Wrestling. And throughout the entire time, I kept losing. And, unfortunately, I kept losing. I'm not going to lie, because the president of the company, Andrew Kendrick, flat out told me, listen, you're going to take the dive or else I'm not going to pay you. Andrew Kendrick, yes.
No, the Andrew Kendrick?
Who is the Andrew Kendrick?
I don't know. That's a joke for Radio Rich. He'll appreciate that.
Well, Radio Rich is a dumbass because I hear he follows Riona Langley wherever she goes, so he knows a lot of people that I know. And unfortunately, he knows I'm a little bit better than I do, but that's because he actually got in with them through
Yeah, we don't like to think about that.
Well, damn straight, we shouldn't. Radio Rich is a little fruitcake.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then. Yeah, but at PHW, I kept losing because Kendrick kept flat out telling me, I refuse to pay you unless you take the dive to this person because I prefer this person to represent my company. And which is where I lost to Riona. Although that one was the one time I refused to take a dive, which makes it all the more embarrassing. Although, like I said, I was drunk the entire time. It was the only way to nurse everything that was going on because I wasn't allowed to have any painkillers anymore. So, needless to say, my contract came up and I told Kendrick to go fuck himself. I left and I spent the next 3 years doing nothing. I didn't do work in Hollywood. I just sat back, enjoyed the royalties coming in from all the projects I'd done, from all the PWA videos and DVDs being sold still, from all the Death Row Wrestling Federation DVDs being sold, from all the High Impact Competition DVDs being sold. And then finally, Price calls me one day and says, Corey, the PWA is reopening soon. Are you interested? And I said, of course I'm interested. I want to get back in the ring. I spent the last week and a half, you know, looking for places to go, but nowhere is willing to pay me what I deserve to be paid. He said, well, Corey, that's because you're asking for too much. You haven't been on TV in 2.5 years. None of the new wrestling fans, the people just tuning in, know who you are. And so I said, okay, what do I do? He said, find a smaller company, one with a devoted fan base, one with a predominantly older fan base, like mid-20s to mid-30s, and work for them for a couple of weeks. So I found High Impact Wrestling, did 2 or 3 matches there, and then I came to the PWA for the second time.
All right, so we're finally, you know, up to a point where people give a shit. So, that wasn't very nice, but I'm not going to apologize. Because this is PWA Radio. So
you just apologized by saying that wasn't very nice, sir. So
no, I was just stating a fact in case people weren't paying attention. I said something not very nice. So if you missed it, rewind, and you can hear me be not very nice because that's what people tune in for, is me being not very nice. That was just kind of a little footnote for people.
Or if you missed it, just rewind and keep listening to me talk because obviously the ratings on this one, Phoenix, are going to go a little bit through the roof now. Just a little.
Yeah. Just a little bit. Man, we might break the 18 downloads this week. It's going to be outstanding.
Yep, 25. Here we go.
So anyway, all right. So PWA started up, and let's see, Genesis, were you there for the first Genesis? Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. You didn't do anything memorable. Not like me. But you were definitely at the Who's the Man. So
oh, yes, I was. Yes, I was. Where again? I came in injured. My right hand was broken because of whatever his name was, Carousel.
Oh yeah, that motherfucker.
Whatever his name was, the little cross-dressing Japanese guy. He broke my hand during a triple threat match between myself, him, and Circa. And I came in, and well, I mean, I can go back through the archives and I can try to find a little description of what happened in the finals of the tournament if you want me to.
No, that's okay. So anyway, so you became the franchise of the PWA, and what are your feelings on the fact that you know, your title is? Are you even in the tournament this year? I don't think you are.
No, I'm not, because last year I won the tournament and I won it definitively and decisively, and then I went on to win the world title. I went on to be the only person in recorded history to take 3 Tombstone Shoulder Breakers from Razor in succession and still kick out. And
well, yeah, but that's, I mean, Razor's not what Razor used to be.
No, he's not, and I'll give you that. But at the time, at Revolutions Per Minute, Razor was the World Heavyweight Champion, which I wish I could say about you, but were you even on the card at Revolutions Per Minute, besides the Rumble?
Indeed, I was in the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, that's right. I must have missed you when I was coming within inches of winning after being the first person in.
Yeah, I don't really. That was a long time ago. That doesn't matter. yeah. So, and if I remember right, you got your clavicle broken.
Yeah.
That's a fancy word, ladies and gentlemen, for collarbone.
I after the United Forces tournament, after what was it, Summer Sizzler? Was it the week or two after Summer Sizzler, where I took on my current tag partner Vickner's PWA debut, and I schooled him a little bit on what it takes to actually be a PWA superstar. I tagged up with Scott Nash Strader, which is probably where I got the Canadian accent from. I don't know. And I took on my old pal Nightmare, Jonathan Mahaly, Nightmare, if you're listening, best of luck in that little injury recovery, pal. I'm hoping for you. I can't wait to kick your ass in the middle of the ring again. And I don't even know who his partner was. Was it IMA Montrose? Was it El Rey? I don't know who it was.
I believe El Rey. I believe.
Might have been. I don't know. All those little masked, flippy, floppy guys all look the same to me. Well, even though IMA is a Asian woman. But she should wear a mask. So there we go. And, yeah, Strader had El Rey or IMA or whoever it was, Jan A., whoever it was, he had them pinned on the mat. 1, 2. Nightmare comes in to break it up. I tackle him, but I put a little too much force into it. And I forget that Nightmare, in case you never wrestle him, Nightmare is a lot bigger and a lot stronger and a lot more like a brick wall than you would ever imagine him to be. And so I hit him wrong angle, too much force, shattered my clavicle.
All right, then.
I shelled for 3 months.
Yeah, so you were out for a while, and you came back at, was it Ground Zero?
Good versus Evil.
Oh, damn. I forgot all about that. I don't even remember what the hell happened at Big Good versus Evil. Let's see.
You decided to strip the world title from Scott Nash.
Yes.
My work, messing with both him and Angle, and you decide to insert yourself into an opportunity to win because you're an opportunist and you require the aid of others in order to get anywhere in life.
Well, you know, it's but it works for me, and you got to go with what works. That's long been my opinion. So, so then you were, of course, in the Dome of Destruction that you didn't win at Ground Zero.
Yes, but I'm also the only person. I was also the first person in and the only person to pin two competitors.
Well, that's nice. It's not world title nice, but it's, you know, it's something. It's definitely a consolation prize.
Well, it would have been world title nice if you decided to not put me with a couple of other slobs like Malicious, like Jethro Hayes, although Jethro has improved a whole lot since debuting, and Project X, and that little nice little first round contendership world title
contendership.
You stacked the odds against me, Rob. I saw that.
Well, actually, that was Chameleon that you want to thank for that, because I'm not actually allowed to book anything to do with the world title as long as I hold it. So, yeah.
Well, then fuck you both.
Yeah. So, and of course, at Unsanctioned, you and Stone defeated Jamie Flynn and Kyle Stevenson, mm-hmm. which would, you know, you would think would get you guys a tag team title shot, except for the fact that those two are no longer the tag team champions.
No, they were, actually. They were.
Well, no, they were at that point, but they're not anymore.
No, they're not anymore. Of course not, because now it's Jamie Flynn and Annika Engel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Annika, Nika, whatever the... All I know is that she loves cream pie. That's all I know.
It's pronounced Erica.
Erica? Annika? Yeah, Annika?
She misspells it.
Annika? Amiga Auto Insurance? What is it? Mako?
Geico? What?
Geico?
Gecko. All right, and so then that brings us, of course, to Genesis. You and your big victory over the biggest skank in PWO history, Ryo Langley, which we've talked about.
Oh, I wouldn't say the biggest. I mean, we've also had Gabrielle. We've also had Psycho Sandra. We've had what else? What's her name? Oh yeah, we've
Mark
had
McNasty.
Yeah, we have had Mark McNasty, haven't we?
So what are your plans now that you're the big champ? Not the big champ, but you're a champ. What are you going to do?
Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to take Vitaly Petrov, Vital Petroleum, Vitaly Perilous, whatever his name is, the Russian guy. I'm going to take the Russian guy, and I'm going to teach him a little thing about what we in the business like to refer to as respecting your elders. I mean, he's flat out said he respects me because I've been everywhere in this industry. I've done everything. But honestly, I can tell by the look in his eye, he's lying through his dirty commie teeth.
That's right. I'm glad you said that because he is a dirty commie and he deserves to have his dirty commie teeth kicked in.
I plan on doing that.
Hate the fucking Russians, man. God damn them. All right, man. So that, you know, that sounds like a pretty good plan. That should be... It's always good to watch you know, beat some people up as long as they aren't me. About Mark McNasty, you plan on facing him because have you got a victory over McNasty? I don't think you do.
I do actually.
God damn it!
Two weeks after he pinned me for the world title at Retribution last year, which again, Mark, I showed you all the respect in the world because of doing that because I was actually focused. And like I said, like I say all the time. When you face Corey Lazarus, when you face the Hollywood Kid, and he's actually focused, you're in for the ride of your life. You're in for the fight of your life. You're in for the biggest match of possibly your career. And he beat me for the belt. 2 weeks later, what happened? Up top, Sans of Ishtar, 1-2-3. Done.
Yeah,
and
of course, I
beat him because he revealed himself to have been Malicious, and I beat him in the Intercontinental.
Good point. That's right. That's a good point. I didn't think about that. That goddamn Mark McNasty, he's such a liar. Hate him.
Yes,
so
he is. What kind of person hides under a mask, right?
Yeah, I don't even know. What kind of person does that? Certainly not, not the real champion. What the oh, yeah. Man, we've been talking
for... I'm sorry for not saying this earlier, but congratulations on your victory over Jamie Flynn.
That was a pretty big moment. I gotta say, you know, I went into the match, but, you know, I was, it's weird to say this coming in as the, you know, reigning world champion, but I went into the match as the underdog, no doubt. And I think I proved a lot of people wrong, whether they want to admit it or not. But, that was a big victory.
Yes, it was. I mean, it would have been a lot bigger if you didn't need Boke and Dragon, and if, I don't know, Scotty Snow hadn't pinned you three times earlier that night.
Yeah, that was, we kind of gloss over that.
We don't, because it's on tape. I'm sorry. Millions of people worldwide saw it live on pay-per-view. It's on tape.
But it won't be on the DVD version. So
that's okay. I tell everybody, just pop in an old school VHS into a VCR and just record it illegally. I don't care.
That hopefully will not be happening too much. But, you know, it was a great moment, and I'm just glad to have beaten that bastard. And apparently he wasn't in the MOA. Were you in the MOA?
No, but I wasn't Acheron. I could have sworn for the life of me that he was in MOA, though, but I've...
Like, everybody was in MOA at some point, I thought.
I know. Like, I'm very surprised.
Like, I was, and I don't even remember it. I just happened to have seen the footage, and I'm like, when the fuck did that happen? But there it is. So apparently it happened.
I've actually been very fortunate to not have been in MOA, because if you look at all the people that have been MOA, where are they now?
Well, I'm world champion. That's where I am.
Well, I mean actual MOA. I mean, like...
No, that's true.
Like Matt Addict, the people like Tommy Riley, like Darren Rydell.
Yeah.
Where are they now? They're nowhere. They're absolutely nowhere. I've beaten each of those since returning to the ring in 2003. I've beaten each of them, and definitively at that. Tommy Riley several times, as a matter of fact. So, where are they now? They're nowhere. Whereas I'm still the premier attraction.
Well, you know, I gotta say this. I'm glad that you're the Intercontinental Champion, because that means you're not coming after my title anytime soon.
Oh, unless I throw the next title match. I don't know. I don't mind. I like the Intercontinental title because that gives me the elusive PWA Triple Crown victory. But like I said, my goal is to be Grand Slam Champion. However, the TV title, little below me. Tag title, I'd love to get that, but Anika, she's a fucking cunt. Dustin would get involved. I really don't feel like fighting Dustin just yet. I want to fight him. I'm going to kick his ass, but not quite yet. So, you know, if me and Stone were to go after the tag titles, we'd get them in a heartbeat. We proved that by defeating one of the best in the entire world who still holds the belts.
You know, that brings up a good point. There's a lot of people asking, because I know, because they're asking me, and they want to know when we're going to be able to make the big Corey Lazarus Thunderwolf match. So is it going to happen?
It will happen. As a matter of fact, I have a plan in the coming week or two that we will definitely see it happen soon. I might be as soon as Who's the Man, where that title of that show will definitely be true for the first time in years, where we will finally decide who will be the man, myself or Thunderwolf. Because, I mean, I hate the bastard with everything in me. I hate his guts. I want to see his career ended. I want to see his life ruined beyond belief. I want to see him crippled. But I will say this. There is nobody in the PWA, there is nobody in any of the old AOWF related companies that is a bigger legend to this sport than Thunderwolf. I will say that with full knowledge that I hate him.
What about Cyrus Moran?
Cyrus Moran would be that big of a legend if he was more successful. I've beaten him so many times.
Wow.
Many times.
Wow, that's...
Everybody has. So...
That's only because he's been around for so much longer. give the guy some... Give the guy a break. It's a legend.
Every single time I've had to face him, I've given him break after break, and I've said, listen, Cyrus, I don't hate you. You're one of the very few people in this industry I respect. I like you. I like going back after the match and going to play cards with you. I like playing poker with you, although usually you just want to play Go Fish or War. But I like playing cards with you. I like hanging out with you. I like sharing a couple of drinks with you. I even held Al for you once while you went to the bathroom. That came out a little weird, but I meant the stuffed animal, you know. And
that's nice. I'm glad that was clarified.
Me too.
Well, all right. We are going to go ahead and cut this off now, because we've been talking for 45 minutes. And between that and the rest of the show, we got like 2 hours of PWA radio for people to listen to. And they start to get a little antsy at that point. People complain. Fucking bitches. But we'll have to get you back on again sometime. We got the whole crew and people, and we can talk about stuff now that doesn't, you know, involve like 2 hours of feds that nobody's ever heard of. But yeah,
Rick.
Yeah, that's how it goes. Well, you know, it's I always say, if it didn't happen in the PWA, it didn't really matter. So, yeah.
That's only because you've never been a big enough star to wrestle anywhere else, Rob.
Well, you know, I was in the
Exactly.
Where did I go? That thing that Dave Blazenwing ran for like 2 weeks.
Exactly.
Before. That was exactly. Yeah.
Blazenwing is a joke. Blazenwing's always been a joke. He'll always be a joke.
Well, I mean, come on, man. We had two shows, and I was there for one of them. So, but beyond that, there was always the, pretty much just the PWA. That was it. That's it for me. So, all right, folks, that's it for this week. Thanks to our guest, Corey Lazarus, who we've been trying to get on here for a year we've been trying to get you on here.
I'm a hard man to get a hold of.
Apparently. So we'll have to do this again before the next 12 months is up. But that's it. Tune in, you know, next time. I'm not making any promises. So later.
Bye.
If it doesn't...
Sorry to interrupt this regularly scheduled programming, but aren't you in for the surprise? Let's take a moment to welcome back everyone's favorite PWA radio co-host, Malicious Mark McNasty. I got a few things I'd like to say, and hopefully Rob, Cam, Laz, they won't mind me stepping in for a second, because I gotta get a few things off my chest. First off, no one saw this coming. The maniacal man in the green mask was actually Mark McNasty, who would have guessed. And you know what? Even if I did have to take a few losses, it got me where I wanted to be. I'm finally on the path back to what's mine. I finally get a chance to go back for my title that was wrongfully taken from me. And it feels great. Chameleon took what was mine. It was mine! That title was mine! But did he care? No. All he cared about was himself. And now, that title's around the waist of Rob Robinson. And isn't he the poor son of a bitch? Robinson already felt my wrath 3 times last year. But it looks like the fun gets to go on. Robinson, I'm coming for my belt. I never lost it. It was taken from me. And I want my title back. So maybe if you get lucky, someone will put you in a match before you get in the ring with me, and you'll lose your belt. And I'll kill them instead. But if I do get the pleasure of tearing you asunder one more time, just don't take it personally. Realize you're the poor SOB who has my title. And when it's all done, things will be right again. My belt will be around my waist. I'll have a smile on my face and gold around my waist. And things will be right again. They'll be right.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. Just knew to
ever since I was little, it looked like fun.